Begin the current daf, Masechta the Baba Basra, daf Kuf. We begin on the second line daf at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. The Gemara is asking, we learned in the previous Mishnah on Amud Beis, where the Mishnah spoke about that if someone has a public path that goes through his field, and it's getting in his way, so he wants to give them a different path, which works for them too. On that says the Mishnah, that the path that he gave them is theirs. They could now use the new path that he gave them. But, however, the path that he wants to now take back, because that was what he was transferring for, that he doesn't get. So now the public has two paths. So on that, the question was, so why is it that the path that he wants to take back, can he not take back? So that's what the Gemara gave, three different approaches, why he can't take back that path, because the new path that he gave them wasn't either, it was a crooked path, or every different path is a crooked path, depending on where you live. It's going to be relative to the other ones. It's going to be far from them. Or it's a rabbinic concern that you might end up giving a crooked path. So now the Gemara continues and asks, according to any one of these three different interpretations, whether because it's a takans chacham, or because that's the rightful law that this guy, what we call shaloi lo higir, he can't get back the old path that the public used to use, because he's not giving them an equivalent, or concerned he's not going to give them equivalent of that path, so he doesn't get that path. So then the question then becomes, okay, so he can't get back that path. They could continue using the path that they always used. But then why does the Mishnah say, but Masha Nasa Nasa, the new path that he gave them, that they get to use also, why? But let him tell them, Shoklo Ditchu. Okay, fine, go ahead, take your old path. The Rabbanan don't let me go ahead and take that old path for myself now because you're ruining my field. But Vahavali Didi, at least give me back my new path that I gave you, because this would be what's called a Mekach Tais. It's a mistaken transfer, meaning I only gave you because I thought I'm able to take it back. If the Chavon don't let me take back the old one, I don't want to give you the new one either. Why does the Mishnah say that the public now gets both paths? Says the Gemara, Hamani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? It's Rebbe Eliezer. The Tana learned the Braisa. Rebbe Yehuda Oimim Shum Rebbe Eliezer, he says the following halacha, which from that we could extrapolate that he would hold, which is the halacha of our Mishnah, that the public, not only do they keep the old one, as we said on the previous stuff already, three reasons why they maintain the old one, but even the new path that he gave them, they get to keep that too. Because he says, Rabim Shebiru Derech La'atzmam, regarding a public, if they select a path for themselves through someone else's field, says Rebbe Eliezer, Mashebaru Baru, what they selected, meaning even though they did not take permission from the owner of the field, as the Gemara will explain exactly the parameters of this halacha, if they select and now the public started walking through this guy's field, it's the public path. Now that the Gemara asks, on Rebbe Eliezer's opinion, Rebbe Eliezer, Rabim Gazlanim Ninu, what, the public are thieves? How could you say such halacha? What, they're just allowed to steal someone else's property? If everyone decides they're walking through someone's field, it's their path now? On that, Rav Gidla Meravi explains, no, Kugoin Sha'avdalehen Derech Ba'isasa, that we're talking about where they had a path through this guy's field, but it got lost. No one knows anymore where exactly the path was through this guy's field. So they ultimately do have a path through his field. So it's in that regard that the public is better than the individual, because if an individual had a path through someone else's field and now he forgot where the path is, he's not allowed to go ahead and choose from his own, I'm going to make this new path through this guy's field. Rather, either he has to get the permission of the court, or the owner of the field has to give him permission. But that's what Rebbe Eliezer's halacha is saying, but regarding the public, they are like the Beis Din, because which one of them is going to go ahead and now bring this guy to court? It's the public versus this individual. Therefore, they could take the law into their own hands, because they have a path already, that we just don't know where. They could go ahead now and select a new path. Now, that's Rebbe Eliezer's halacha. That the Gemara is answering that for sure Rebbe Eliezer's halacha would apply to the halacha of our Mishnah, where it's not just that there's a lost path and now they select where they should decide the new path is going to be. Because in our Mishnah, it's moreover, he actually gave them this new path out of his own volition. Now, he thought it was because he's going to be able to transfer, but ultimately he gave them the new path. So like the Mishnah says, Masha Nasan Nasan, what he gave them, they gave them. It's just that on that, the Mishnah tells us that although he was giving it so they can get back the old path, that we say, no, shaloi lehigir, because that's a penalty, as we said, either because he's giving them a crooked path, or because every path is a crooked path, or because he might give a crooked path, but whatever it is, since he ultimately gave them a new path, so therefore, that's the path that now they could use, because even when it wasn't given, but they had a path and got lost, Eliezer says they could choose on their own, here once it's actually given to them, they could definitely hold on to that, and neither does he get the old one. Now, however, the Gemara continues and says, but if you're explaining the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, that's talking about, because we asked what Rabbi Eliezer's halacha, we're basing the halacha of our Mishnah on Rabbi Eliezer, but now we're discussing Rabbi Eliezer. You said Rabbi Eliezer, what, the public could just walk through a guy's field and claim eminent domain? No, they can't do that. So we explained, it means to say that they lost a path. If they lost a path, now usually you would need the courts. No, they could decide what the new path is. But in that, the Gemara asks, if that's the interpretation of Rabbi Eliezer, so amai amarav baravuna amarav ein halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer, then why do we have a different teaching, meaning this previous qualification of Rabbi Eliezer's halacha was said by Rav, that said that they can't just make a path through someone's field. It's when they had one just to get lost. Then why do we have a different teaching from Rav that says that halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, but to the contrary, it would seem logical that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Because as Rashbam explains, even according to the Chacham who disagree with Admon, that say, when someone buys something in someone else's field, you don't automatically get a right of way through someone's field, rather you have to fly through the air. And that the Gemara explains in Masechet Ksubos, that's talking about when the person who owns the area had bought it from four different people. But in that general field area, everyone agrees that the owner of the field has to give the guy who originally had a path, he just doesn't know where it is, a way to get through the field. Now, and that's regards to an individual. Regarding the public, that makes sense to say that they could select on their own where, if they had a path, we just don't know where, that they could select where it is. And therefore, everyone would agree that that was done appropriately. So now we have a contradiction in Rav himself. Why does Rav say that halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say they could just make up a path. There is a path, we just don't know where. And that's logical to say that the halacha should be like that. So why do we have the other opinion of Rav, who says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer? So that the Gemara answers, you're right. Man de masni ha, the one, Rav Gidl, who had taught the name of Rav, that said this halacha, that Rabbi Eliezer's halacha was not said that they could just choose a path. It was said when they had a path, it was just lost, and now they could choose a path. That, loy masniha, he did not learn like Rabbi Rav Huna, who had said the name of Rav, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. You're right, he would say halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. The one who says halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer is going, because yeah, it wasn't a path lost. The public could just go ahead and pick a path through someone's field. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Rav Huna, the halacha of our Mishnah, v'tayim amai, how do we understand according to his interpretation of Rav, how do we understand the halacha of our Mishnah? In other words, since he says from Rav the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, why is that? Because the halacha is not talking about Rabbi Eliezer when you just had a lost path. It's like, yeah, the public just decides to take a path through someone's field, like eminent domain. So, therefore, Hagen explained the halacha of the Mishnah. In other words, as Rashbam explains, we don't assume to say that halacha like a Mishnah is like a yachid, which is not the halacha like, which is like Rabbi Eliezer. So according to him, we said before the halacha of our Mishnah is like Rabbi Eliezer. But that's if you explain based on the general opinion that everyone would agree to when the path is lost, and then they could choose. So when for sure, when he gives it for sure. But in the halacha of our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Rav Huna, that he holds Rabbi Eliezer is talking about when they could just choose a path through, where, yeah, that he's quoting from Rav, the halacha is not like him. So then who's the halacha of the Mishnah going to be like? It wouldn't make sense to be like Rabbi Eliezer, who the halacha is not like. So Rav explains the Gemara, Mishum de Rabbi Huda. The halacha of our Mishnah is based on like we had from the halacha of Rabbi Huda. The Amr Rabbi Huda said, Meitzer shechziku bei rabim, regarding a boundary that the public had taken possession of it, and they did a chazaka, that what they did was they really smoothed it out and they really fixed this path through this guy's field for walking purposes. And the owner knew about this and he was silent? Asur lekalkaloi. There, says Rabbi Huda, it's forbidden for the owner now to ruin that path, because for sure he was meichel to the rabim. Oh, based on that principle of Yehuda, now you could understand the halacha of our Mishnah, where that's even when they do it on their own, and he was silent and he didn't say anything, for sure, we assume that he was Meichel. For sure, in the halacha of our Mishnah, when he actively gave it to them on his own, now, although he thought he's going to use that as a transfer for the old one, that's something else. That he doesn't get because that's a rabbinic penalty. But here, where he gave it to them by himself, therefore we say Masha Nasan Nasan, and again, we would have to say, if we're going based on this principle of Yehuda, is that the public already had taken a chazak, they already machzik on that path, and therefore, that's the difference where Yehuda's halacha is that they were machzik, then you can't ruin it anymore. And that's the halacha of our Mishnah, where they already were machzik on the new path, therefore, mashah nasan nasan. Now, the Gemara now goes back and asks, now Rabbi Eliezer, which Rashbam explains is going according to Rabbi Rav Huna, that said the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, which we explain, why does his version of Rav say halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer? Because he explains that this that the public could make a path through someone's field is even to a moment where they had not had originally one, they got lost, they never had a path. And still Rabbi Eliezer says, Masha biru biru, if they select a path through someone's field, they get to keep that path. Even if they weren't machzik, not like Rabbi Huda's halacha. Even if they never took possession of it, they never did a chazaka. On that, the Gemara asks, Rabbim b'may konile. So according to this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, again, according to Rabbi Rav Huna's version, how exactly does the public take possession of that guy's, of the path through that guy's field? But by just talking about it, they acquired it. They didn't do a chazaka. So how exactly were they a kind of that path? Says the Gemara, b'hilucha. Actually, it was just by walking through it. That selection was through the walking, and it was that way that they selected, that's how they acquire it. The Tanya, like Linda Bryce said, that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. The Bryce says, Halach bala arku l'rachba, if someone walks on a field in the length and the width, kana makami luchai divri, Rabbi Eliezer says, just by walking, you have acquired that area. They disagree. They say, in hilich mayel klum, walking doesn't do anything, until you actually do a chazaka, which is a kinyan, until you take possession. So therefore, it's Rabbi Eliezer l'shitasa, that walking is a valid kinyan. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, the Amayr Rabbi Eliezer says, my time in Rabbi Eliezer, what's the reason of the Tana Rabbi Eliezer that you could have a kinyan through walking? Would we find such a source? Says the Gemara, it says a pasuk in Bereishis, where Hashem told Avraham Avinu, "Kum, get up, his halich ba'aretz la'arka l'rachba, walk on this land to its length and its width. Kilachat nana, because for you, I'm going to give it to you." So you see that he acquired it by walking. Now the Gemara says, "Rabbanu, according to Rabbanu, hold that walking is not a kinyan." They explain, "Hasa mishum chavivusad Avraham hu deka'amar lehachi." That was only because of the endearment that Hashem had for Avraham that He told him this, which was that it should just be easier for his children to conquer the land of Canaan, which is becoming Eretz Yisrael, which was this idea that they should be like already they inherited the land and not like thieves, and that there shouldn't be any permission for the Satan, for the incriminating angel to prosecute, and they shouldn't have a claim to say that, oh, the Jews are doing something wrong. But therefore, they hold that, no, it's not true that you have to go ahead, and if you want to acquire something, it's not enough, but just walking, you have to actually do a chazaka, which, again, what that means to say is to either smooth out the land for that it could be for plowing, or to lock, or open, or breach a wall, because although the Gemara tells us, actually, in the first parak of Baba Kama of Tesamad Aleph, that what makes a chazaka is mechidayish amitzah, is when you walk on the boundary, that doesn't mean walking like Rabbi Eliezer is walking. Rather, that means to say by lifting up the boundaries and by threshing the ground to fix the boundary and to strengthen it, which was lechazke, means over there to go ahead and close the fence or to make a lock. That's what it means according to Chacham. It's not enough just to walk over there. And by Avram, it wasn't being kind. It was just as a symbolic for the children later on that Avram Avinu has already been here. Now, Amr Yisrael Rabbi Chanini says, however, Maidim Chacham Rabbi Eliezer, but the Chacham do agree to Rabbi Eliezer, Bishvil Shal Karamim, by a path in a vineyard, Hail V'nasal Hilach, since it's made for walking, then Nikna Behilach, then you could acquire it with walking. And the reason is because it's through the format that the thing is meant to have pleasure for, if you do it in that way, that is the actual kinyan of the thing. As we had this in Perichesk Zabat and Dafnam Gimla Mabez, where if someone put down mats in the property of the ger, he's already acquired it because he utilized it in the way that its utilization is. So although you can't usually make a kinyan with walking, but in the vineyard path, it to acquire that, which its utility is for walking, that would be a kinyan. A related discussion, the Gemara brings, Ki asu l'kamed Rav Yitzchak bar Ami, when they brought individuals in front of Yitzchak bar Ami, which was to litigate regarding the situation of a person who had stipulated to his friend that he's going to sell him a path of a vineyard. Or Rabbi Hananel explains that it's talking about somebody that lost a path through someone else's field. Now, Amalahu, so he said to them, Havule, give him a path that's wide enough, kihecha de dari tuna de shabishta, that he could carry a load of branches on his shoulder, vahada, that he's going to be able to turn around in all directions, and that the branches are not going to hit the walls of the path. That's how wide the path has to be when you're giving him, selling him a shvil shakaramim, a path in the vineyard. Now, but the Loimon, we didn't say this, that it has to be that wide that he could turn around with this lowered branch and it's not going to hit any of the walls. El de Mesaimin Mechitzasa. Only if that path is surrounded by walls on either side, then you have to widen the path wide enough that the walls should be pulled back so that the walls are not going to harm this guy's load. That's going to fall off his shoulders when he's walking. He's going to be banging into the walls of the path. But if there's no walls that are surrounding this path, then he doesn't have to give him more than ella only kihechid shokel kara manach kara, the amount that it takes to put one foot in front of the other foot, which is just a very narrow path. And then actually the seller could go ahead and plant or put a vineyard on that on either side, because now there's nothing that's going to damage and get in the way of this guy who's carrying his load. This that we have to give him that width was only because of carrying, but here there's no walls, so he has to just give him a narrow footpath, and then the guy can plant on either side of that. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah that was talking about the measurements of different paths that go through another person's property. The Mishnah said, Derech HaYochad Dalar Amas. If someone sells someone else an individual path just for one person, it's to give him a width of 4 amas. However, Tanu Limna Braisa, Achayim Oimrim, others say, Kedei Sheyavr Chamor B'masa. He has to give him the width that a donkey could go pass through with a load on it. Which actually the Gemara is going to explain shortly. It's a reference to two gemadin, which is either an amma or an abridge, a shorter amma and a half. Now, Amar Rav Huna says, Halacha ka'achem, halacha follows like this b'raisa of the Abda Chayrim, that it's not, like we said, dalet amas, but rather, it's the measurement of how much a donkey could go by with its load. Now, the girsa is, v'tonu dayone gailo, that the judges of the diaspora, which is a reference to Shmuel and Karna, as the Gemara brings in the first paragraph of Masechta Sanhedrin, they taught a b'raisa that it's the measurement is, shnei gemodin u'mechza, which again, either that means these are smaller amas, which is from the measurement of a person's elbow to the tip of his fingertips, or something, actually, it's regular amos, as we find the pasuk in Shaft in Paragimel, that Gamad Arka, that it refers to regular amos. So either it's a short 2.5 amos or a regular 2.5 amos. He says, Halacha k'dayone gaila, halacha is like these judges of the diaspora from their braisa, that it's these 2.5 amos. Not the Gemara, but Vam Rav Huna, Halacha k'achem. We have a different quote from Rav Huna, that it says, Halacha is like achem, it's the measurement of how much the width of a donkey with its load is. That's the Gemara. They're both the same measurement. Now, the reason why Rav Huna mentioned regarding to both these brides, the halacha follows like them, is to tell us that they're the same measurement. And he wanted to tell you that these are both halacha, so now you know it's these 2 gemodin and a half, which is the measurement of the width of a donkey with its load. Then the Mishnah said, Derech harab mishesh esri amma, the width of for a public path, for a public rishus harabim, is shesh esri amma, is 16 amas. Tarabon, the Brice, it expounds on this halacha. It says, Derech HaYochad, as we said, that if someone's selling a path for an individual to go through his field, so then Arba Amas, he has to give him a width of 4 amas. Derech Me'ir Le'ir, if let's say there was a path that was designated just between intercity, between these two cities, and the people of other cities weren't able to use that path. It was specifically from one city to another city. Since Shemayin Amas, the width of that path has to be 8 amas, because if two wagons are going to meet each other coming in the opposite direction, since the width of a wagon is 4 amas, that they shouldn't have to hold up traffic. So you need to have 8 amas so that they can both go in this two-way path from city to city. We continue on to Tamid Beis, where the Braisa continues, Derech Harabim, if there's a public path, for example, if let's say we're talking about a city that is an inter-thoroughfare, that has some type of like a highway where people come from all over through that city, and that path has to be 6 esri amas, 16 amas wide. Now, Derech Ari Miklit, the path of that takes a person to a city of refuge when he kills by mistake, he has to go to the one of the Ari Miklit, so then those paths have to be Shleishim Mishtayim Amas, has to be 32 Amas wide. Now, Amar Rav Huna says, Maikra, what's a pasuk that supports this last halacha? The Chassid says, the pasuk in the Varm says, Tachin Lecha Derech, you should prepare for yourself the path, which the pasuk that goes on to say, that should be a place for a person had murdered by mistake to flee over there. It says, it could have said, Derech, should have said path. Instead it says haderech, you should prepare for yourself the path. That hey comes to add on, besides a regular path, another path. Now, a regular path, derech in the Torah, is 16 amas, as we find in the Shabbos regarding a derech of Rishus HaRabim, which is from the Agolos of the Mishkan, which took up a width of 16 amas. Moreover, had it only said derech, I would have said it was 16 amas, because generally the paths going to the Ari Miklat were public paths, were Rishus Arabs, which a Rishus Aram is 16 amas wide, so they could be able to get quickly run to those cities. So if it says haderech, adds on another derech, which 16 plus 16 is 32 amas wide. Mishnah then said, derech hamelech, the path of the king, in Lashir. There's no measurement to how wide, it has to be as wide as possible. As the Gemara explains, Shamelech Pirates Gedur Lasses Loider, because the king can breach any walls to make a path for himself, which this is actually a Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Mabeis. It was only said parenthetically from all the halachas of a Mishnah, which told about paths, so the Mishnah mentioned that halacha from that Mishnah too. The Imam Achim Biyadi, no one can protest regarding the king. There's no share how wide the king needs it as much as he needs, that's how much we give him. Now the Mishnah continued and said, Derech HaKever Ein L'Shir, the path of to the cemetery, to the grave, doesn't have any measurement. So he explains the Gemara, Mishim Yikud Deshachva, as it's because of the covered for the mess with the person that died, it wouldn't be appropriate that if they have to chase away some of the people that would be Malava escorting the mess from here because, the road doesn't fit you. No, because of the honor of the dead person, we make it as wide as possible, people could come as much as possible, even though they're walking through other people's property. The Mishnah then said, Hamaimid, regarding the maimid procedure, which we're going to shortly explain, which is by a funeral after the burial. So, Dayani Tzipori Amru Bas Kavan, Bas Dalad Kavan. So, the judges of Tzipori, they said that's an area of 4 Kavan squared, Chulu, etc., where there is no etc. That's the end of the Mishnah. Now, related to this halacha, which Gemara will elaborate on this halacha of maimid, we learned in the Brisa Tana Rabban HaMeicher Kivara, if someone sells his grave. Now, what they used to make, these caves when they were alive, and they would designate where they're going to bury their family. Actually, as we learned in the Mishnah at the end of this Amid that we'll quote on the next daf. So let's say someone sells his grave that was already designated, they have the whole family plot. He has his grave and he sells it. Well, let's say he sells Derech Kavari, the path to get to his grave. Or Mokam HaMadai, or the place of where they would stand and sit, which was near the cemetery, on their way back from the burial, as the Gemara is shortly going to explain. Or let's say he sells a basis paid to the place where they would eulogize. Says the Braisa, Boin b'nei mishpacha, so when this person passes away, he already sold his grave, he sold all these things, so the family members come, b'koivrin oisei al karchai, and they bury him against the will of the one who bought it from him, which this is a takanas chachamim, mishum b'gam mishpacha, because it's disgraceful for the family members that they don't have a place where to bury their relative who he went and sold his grave. So David the Rabbanan said that what they do is they go ahead and they pay back the guy who bought it, and he has to give them back all these things that are inherent in the burial, as the Gemara says explicitly, Masech Tzpacheres, at the end of Perek Yesh Bacher L'Nachla. Now, continuing on this theme, which will explain this halacha of Mamadis, Tana Rabban learned the Braisa, Ein Poichsin Mishivim Mamadis U'Meshoves L'Meis. We don't do less than 7 sittings and gettings up for this Maimer to Meshav of the person who died. In other words, on their way back from the grave, so they walk a little bit, then they sit down to comfort the mourners, or to actually increase the pain regarding the one who had died so that they should cry more about this person that had just passed away. And that everyone should think about and repent and realize that a person's life is vanity if they spend it not in ruchnius, spiritual types of pursuits. And then they stand up and they walk a little bit more. And then they go back and they sit back down again. And they do this 7 times. So again, so that they should constantly reflect that a person's life for just a physical entity is vanity. And that's actually what the Gemara is going to shortly explain, that this it correlates to the 7 terms of Hevel that were used in the beginning of Sefer Kehelis. Where, as the Gemara explains, Keneged, this correlates to the beginning of Kehelis that says, Havel Havalim Ama Kehelis. Vanity of vanity, says Kehelis, Havel Havalim Akol Hevel. Vanity of vanity is all vanity, says the word Hevel 7 times to say that it's all vanity. That's why we do 7, these Meshavos U'Mamadis, as we call the gettings up, which is that they sit down, get up, go a little bit more, sit down, get up, they do this 7 times. And that's the space that we spoke about. The Mamadis has to be an area of 4 Kavan squared. Now, Amalei Rav Acha Bered Rav Le Rav Ashi says, Hichi Avdi, how exactly would the custom be in the places where they had the custom to do this, how exactly would they do this? So Amalei said, Kiditan, like learn the Braisa. Amar Behuda Behuda says, Behuda Berishayna, there were 3 areas in Eretz Yisrael, one of them being Judea, in Yehuda, originally, they wouldn't do less than 7 of these gettings up and sitting downs on the way back from the cemetery for the person that died. Kagain, for example, in other words, after they sat a little bit, then the one in charge would tell them, Imdu yikarm amudu. Oh, honorable ones, stand up and go to another place. And when they would go a little bit, then they would say, Shvu yikarm shvu. Honorable ones, distinguished ones, sit down and sit. And that's the process that they would do. This is what's known as the maimed. Now, Amr Lai, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kain, if that's the case that you just described what this procedure of Mamadis are, then af b'Shabbos. Then even on Shabbos, where they went and they buried the person who had died right before Shkir, right before sundown, so then there should be Mutul Asikin, it should be permitted to do that on Shabbos, because since you just described that they didn't really do anything by the Mamadis and my Shabbos, all they do is get up and sit and get up and sit. So you should be able to do that on Shabbos. Now, but one thing is that what the Gemara was just bringing a proof from was from Rabbi Huda, not from the Rabbanah, because they don't say anything what was the procedure of my Shabbos. But what he was answering, what you see from this place is, you see what the procedure was, that they would do it seven times, and they would get up and sit down, and the person would tell them, get up and sit down. And again, they use that as an opportunity either to mourn or to reflect on the vanity of life. The Gemara continues on this halacha of Mamadis. Achsei the Rami Bar Papa, meaning of this maimid, not of mamadis, of this maimid which is done, the mamadis of my shavis of the way back from the cemetery. Achsei the Rami Bar Papa, the sister of Rami Bar Papa, having a sivulei Rav Avya, had gotten married to Rav Avya, and Shriva, at one point in time, she had died. Now, Ovid la maimid Moshev, so her husband Rav Avya did for his wife this maimid Moshev procedure that we described. Now, Amr Rav Yisus said, Ta betarti. This Rav Avya made two errors. Ta, he made a mistake, Shein oisin el bekraivim. This procedure of maimer to maishab is only done with relatives of the person that died, meaning they're not from the actual mourners, but they're from one of the relatives, and they come to this mamadis mashavas for the honor of the one who had passed away. He did it even with people that are unrelated to his wife who had passed away. Now, but Ta's second mistake that he made was Shein Oisin El B'Yom Rishon. This procedure is only done on the first day, the day of the burial. For Huavid B'Yom Shein, he did on the subsequent day, on the second day. Abaya Amar, he says, B'ha Namita, he actually made another mistake. Shein Oisin El B'Veis HaGvaris. It's only done in the cemetery. V'Huas B'Ir, he did this procedure, Maimon HaMashav, in the city. Rava Amar B'ha Namita, he says a fourth thing that he made a mistake also, is Shein Oisin El B'Makam Shenagu. This Maimon HaMashav is only done in the place where that's the custom. V'hasam le'nog, in the place where he did it, there wasn't that custom, and therefore it was a mistake that he went and did this Maimadis Mashabbos. Now, regarding one of the things just mentioned, the Gemara asked Meisvei, from the Brisa we mentioned before, the Gemara asked on what Abaya said. The Brisa said, the Amr Loi, the Chum responded to Rabbi Huda, Im Kain, if that's all Maimadis Mashabbos are, so then after Shabbos, Mutalasis Kain, although the custom is not, they wondered according to you, why? What's the problem about doing Maimadis Mashabbos on Shabbos? Now, that asked the Gemara, but V'i Yamim Riv, you say, like Abaya said, that that the whole procedure of Mamadis Mashabbos is only done, as we said, only in the cemetery, not in the city, and only on the first day, meaning the day of the burial, and not on any subsequent day. So then, so how exactly are the Chacham trying to say, oh, then why didn't you do it on Shabbos? What do you mean? What do you mean, why wouldn't you do it? Why would anyone be in the cemetery on Shabbos? You're not allowed to do a burial on Shabbos. So what do you mean to do the Mamadis Mashabbos on Shabbos? If it was a subsequent day, okay, fine, I could understand why they would be saying, what's the problem? But how could it be on the day of, when you can't bury on Shabbos, and the Maimonides and Meshabbos have to be on the day that they did the burial? So why are they trying to tell him to do it on Shabbos too? That's the Gemara, it's not difficult on Abaya. Because we're talking about Be'ir HaSemuch LeBeis HaKfar, we're talking about a city that was very close to the cemetery. Dam to you, Bein HaShmoshes, where they brought the person to bury him right before sundown, at the time of twilight. Now, after it got dark, then the Chacham were telling Rabbi Yehuda they should be doing Maimed HaMoshev on their way back, because that would still qualify to be considered Yom Rishon. And we find this precedent in Halacha of Aninus, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, that Aninus Laila Drabbanan. Although the morning, the first day was on during the daytime, that subsequent night, although in Halacha we usually say that the night is the beginning of the day, and that's part of the Gemara's question, but regarding Aninus, we show that the night follows that the daytime, and that's the rabbinic halacha of Aninus being even on that first night. So therefore, here where it happened right before, and they buried him right before Shabbos, and it's on the way back from the cemetery, which is when you're supposed to do it, even though it's Shabbos, that's what they were saying, it would still qualify for Abayas halacha being in the cemetery on Bayam Rishon, and therefore that's why they said to Rabbi Huda that if that's the case, the way you describe Maimon HaMashav, then why wouldn't they do this even on Shabbos? But again, yeah, you're not allowed to bury on Shabbos, and it has to be on day one. That's what the Gemara is answering, that this is considered day one, because it's right after the burial, which is right before Shabbos, and you're on your way back. And moreover, we find in Aninus that Laila, the night after that first day, is considered rabbinically like the period of Aninus, which is only on the day of when the person had passed away, and therefore that would still qualify with Halacha of Yom Rishon.